Let me pray. Loving God, please take my words and anoint them by your Holy Spirit and our hearts and minds to receive from you your good news for us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated. So you might be wondering, these readings aren't too bad. What's the problem with them? And thinking, oh, there shouldn't be too much difficulty in weaving something out of that. And on one level, that's true. It would be very easy for me just to like top slice this and go, yeah, there's some really lovely nuggets in here that we, you know, and we'll just ignore perhaps the more challenging imagery and scenarios that we have here. In this sermon, I cannot address all the questions that these readings raise for me. But I'm going to share with you what some of those questions are, because I think being honest about some of those challenges is also a good spiritual practice. And so for me, when I read the passage of Joel, which I love Joel, Joel's great, but I also see in there something which reminds me of some horrendous situations we have seen increasing in the last couple of years in the poorest areas of the globe. Do you remember the locusts? I don't know if you remember last year, but the locusts were swarming across great swathes of Africa, and they destroyed so much and left so many malnourished as a result. Do any of you remember that? Is that something you remember? Yeah. So it swept around, and it really did feel like it was just this overwhelming swarm was just coming in and was just kind of destroying all that was in front of it, in front of them. And that includes here the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter. Locusts, you know, it's that sort of stuff where they just come along and they destroy the crops and all the rest of it. And of course, this is huge swathes of land that is already struggling. It also reminded me of the plagues, and I mean plagues, that took place in Australia. Not a fire, although there was that too, but there was rats. There was a whole infestation of rats in, I can't remember where it was now, but it was like, it was, so let's not dwell on that one. But you know what I mean? And so I look at this and I go, yeah. And then it sort of says that, guys, that God says, you know, I sent them. What did the people in Africa do to warrant it? You know, the poorest of the poor, the weakest, the most vulnerable, they're already struggling. And the locusts come and destroy even more. So that's why I struggle with that bit of the reading, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, where is the justice in this? How is that an equitable thing? How is that good news in this situation? And the other thing then, just kind of like ponder some of these things. Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy a letter and says to pray for the leaders. I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings should be made for everyone, for kings, and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. Friends, this was the time of Nero. This was the time of oppression and violence. This was a time of cruel and corrupt governments. And in that context we see here, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving should be made for everyone, for kings and all those in high positions. But they're terrible, Lord. All of them. They're as corrupt as they can be. And if you want to give it a more contemporary application, without dwelling on this too much, you might think about how is it that you pray in thanksgiving and gratitude and all the rest of it for maybe some people south of the border, maybe without drawing too much comments around that, but moving on. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing where you go, seriously? Do you see why I'm struggling with the readings? Why I might find, does anybody else find, does any of this have currency with anybody else? You kind of go, no, most of you are not acknowledging anything, so I'm on my own pretty much. Okay, well, that's all right. And then we have this do not worry business in the gospel reading. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, and what you will drink, about your body and what you'll wear. And I think about Vancouver, quite apart from anywhere else. I think about those who are struggling because they can't afford housing, those who are having to make choices between food on the table and the rent, those who are homeless, and those who are in the grips of addictions because, and partly the reason why they've ended up in that place, is because they were trying to find an escape from the pain and the anguish of their lives. Do you see what I mean? So I let out all of the problems, and I may well have made you really pretty depressed right now, and this is supposed to be Thanksgiving, and where is this all going? Well, I think that is where we start. We start by acknowledging that we live in an imperfect and unjust world. That is the context in which we find our stories today. And so for me, it is about developing practices of thanksgiving and gratitude in the midst of those challenging circumstances, rather than ignoring them. Does that make sense? So rather than just sort of saying, well, of course, everything in the garden is rosy, and all you need to do is pray, and everything is lovely. That is not real. It is not rooted. It is a pile of tosh. And so therefore, I would prefer to do something which is at least an attempt to be in the real world. We have to be a people who know how to practice thanksgiving in the midst of the ruins and the mess and the beauty that we find ourselves in today. It is easy, though, in Vancouver, as many of you who watch online will hear me say way too many times, is about how beautiful Vancouver is, about this area. And I wax lyrical about the big skies, the rainforest, the forests, the waters, the mountains, and then, of course, the trees and the turning and all of the other different things I've waxed lyrical about over the time I've been here. And it never stops being fresh to me. Every day I look out, even from, my view isn't necessarily the best, but I can see slithers of the North Shore, and I can see slithers of the sea, and I can see slithers of, you know, all of those things. I may not have the view that I can see all of that all of the time, but I can see slithers of that. And that brings me hope because I know it's out there. That's my metaphor today. You may only see slithers of light and beauty, but it is something that we can practice gratitude from. So I'm not trying to say that is all, when you look out on your view, that it's all beautiful and all glorious. But I hope that, I'm being metaphorical here, not literal, but your place. But in my place, it literally is. I can see these slithers. There's breaks in the buildings, and I can see the beauty. Some of you have got beautiful views. And not that I'm jealous. I am. Because the first thing I do when I go to somebody's apartment is, oh, I love your view. So it's what I do. I kind of like, I am one of those people. I'm a natural light freak. I love, I'm always drawn to windows and stuff like that. So that's just how that is. But it is in the midst of that we need to learn to practice gratitude, thanksgiving, and to prayers. And so for me, it's a challenge when Paul says to Timothy, we need to pray for our leaders. And I think, in brackets, especially ones we don't like. Because that's the challenge, isn't it? It's easy to pray for the people we like, but we have to pray for the ones we really don't like. And frankly, in some cases, I really have to grapple around a lot to find the things that I'm going to pray around for positively some days. But nonetheless, there's a discipline and a practice in doing that. And so the invitation as we think about Thanksgiving and starting in that context is developing, I really encourage you, the daily practice of giving thanks. For some of you, that might be picking up a mug of coffee, tea, or whatever else you have, and going to the window and looking out and going, what a terrible view, or what a beautiful view. It might be going for a walk by English Bay, which is what I was doing this morning, kind of trying to work this stuff out. It might be for you something else. taking a few moments, it might be journaling and writing and saying, what am I grateful for today? What is bringing me life? Or what can I recall to mind so that I start this day in a better place than I otherwise would? So it is a spiritual practice. Another one that I do, doesn't have to be fancy, but is I always pause before a meal to give thanks for it. We used to call that saying the grace, but at school it became not a joy, but just like a, ugh, really? And so it becomes something other than that. But I've tried to rehabilitate that. And just to stop and to give thanks for the food that I've got on my plate. Yes, there is hunger on the streets. Yes, there is all of those sorts of things. But if I practice gratitude, if I begin in that place, then I start to become less anxious in the world. And that, I think, is the wisdom that we have from our readings today. It is when we practice thanksgiving and gratitude, when we pray for and seek to speak to the other, that we are changed and we become less anxious ourselves. So when Jesus talks about do not worry about all of these things, when we know that with COVID, people have struggled to make ends meet, people have lost their homes, people are worried about their homes, whether they can keep them or not. To an anxious and distressed world, Jesus says that, you know, do not worry. It's a bit like when he says, peace be with you. It is about developing a non-anxious heart. And I think that does come from a place of gratitude. I think it also is where the wisdom comes in mental health too. So many people from G.K. Chesterton all the way, all sorts of people will talk about practicing gratitude as a way to good mental health. And I think that is also true. When you stop and stop thinking about how hard done by you might be, but begin to step aside and think, actually, what have I got to enjoy and be blessed by? And begin there, you can build up, and it can really help you feel better about your situation. It won't resolve necessarily your mental health, but it will at least be a good practice to improve your mental health. So that is important. I can tell you, having come back from the UK fairly recently, aside from my children and my family, I wouldn't be in a rush to go back to the UK, and I've learned the value of here. Even though I still haven't got permanent residency. Anyway, another story. But do you get my point? Sometimes when we go away, we can go back and we can reappreciate that which we took for granted before. And maybe that's another journey that we need to make. That journey of stepping outside and then coming back into that which is familiar and seeing it slightly differently. Or perhaps putting it in a different context where we can really appreciate it. So friends, it's expensive here, of course. But Vancouver is a beautiful place to be. So I offer you these kind of practical things. And then very quickly, just to kind of sweep through this. The promise in Joel is that it won't always be as bad as this. There is this beautiful line which has been used in all sorts of things, both individually and at a community level. That I will repay you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Sometimes we may feel that lots of years have been lost to us, either individually or in another way. Here is a promise that it will be restored, that those years of loss, those years of pain and struggle will find themselves resolved and blessed. For those of you who have struggled with alienation from the church, from family, from friends, from work, from alienation of any type or any degree. The years that the locusts have eaten can be restored to you in this present age or in the age to come. And then again, at the end of Joel, it is this, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you and my people shall never again be put to shame. In fact, that line is repeated at the very end. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Friends, speaking to those of you who have, like me, struggled at times with mental health, shame is a close companion for many of us. And so I say to you directly in this space that God's heart and will is that you will not experience shame anymore. And so, as we pull this together, as we think about the themes that I mentioned at the beginning, I invite you to practice thanksgiving and to build on it, to find creative ways that work for you. Some of you will like writing and journaling. Some of you will like taking pictures. Some of you will just like going for a walk. Some of you will be able to read poetry or stuff that just brings you alive and fills your heart with gratitude. Find those things that work for your personality and do them. Let gratitude fill your heart. And the next close companion to that will be that sense of understanding that you are rooted in the ground of God's love. And if you're rooted in the ground of God's love, you will be better able to withstand it when people say or do things that hurt you. Because you yourself understand yourself to be rooted in God's love. And that means you know you're loved, which means you can extend your love to others even when they don't love you back. One of the challenges. Remember that we were called to serve, to love our neighbor, and the definition of the neighbor was not our natural kin, it was actually our natural enemy. Radical teaching at the heart of the Christian faith, of the way of Jesus. And so we are invited not to worry, to have a peace. How do we attain that peace? I believe it is through that practice of gratitude and understanding ourselves to be loved by God. And that frees us up from an anxious world. It frees us up. And yes, I don't know the answers to some of our practical concerns that we might have. If you are struggling to make ends meet, if you're worried about your housing, all those things, I don't have all the answers. But I can point you to practices that will enable you to weather those things better and the hope for better days to come. Because we are a people of faith. And finally, with harvest, we think again about the wonders and the varieties of foods that we have to enjoy, the food we have to eat, but also the food that we see in other ways. I like to think also about the trees that have berries on them. That isn't food for us, but is food for other animals. And we think about the wonders and the spectacle of the whole of creation, and we want to give thanks for that. And we can also do things that are practical. We have worked with Gordon Neighborhood House, particularly over the last year or so, but many of you are familiar with Gordon Neighborhood House because you've been going to the lunches and all sorts of other activities there. And so we have an invitation, if you have money and you have money you want to give in gratitude, we really encourage you to support the work of Gordon Neighborhood House, who do so much for food in the West End. And not just to provide food for those who are hungry, but also food as a means of sustainability and food as a way of bringing people together for fellowship and relationship. And I think that's the other thing I'd want to say. So we want to think about what we can do ourselves, but also practical, concrete action that you can do to make a difference in the lives of others as you give thanks to God for your provision. Amen.